His truth is marching on. Is it? Even Pilate, Pontius Pilate asked. What did he ask?
What is truth?
Has the truth changed so much? What truth is it that marches on, we ask? Has the truth become relevant to the times? Has the truth evolved to fit man? Or to society? Or to the government? Or to the world view? Are there truths that were so evident in the 16th and the 17th and the 18th and the 19th and the 20th century that they are good enough for today? Or has the truth for America been so diluted that men echo Pilate's question today, what is truth today? Do we follow the golden rule, or do we follow what's in it for me rule? Do we do the right thing, or do we do what's best for the individual? Do we teach morality in our schools, or neutrality towards personal behavior? Do our children understand the sanctity of marriage and the value and the benefits of a wholesome dating relationship? What truth do we have today? This country's foundation was built on a set of truths. Truths known as basic working principles. They were truths extracted from the Word of God. These truths built this country and made it strong and true. But have we carried them forward? Have we watered down the rules of our culture in order to fit in with the rules of man? Let's look back at the beginning. How has this country been so successful thus far? What truths have gotten us to the place we are today? There's been a single theme rolling down through the ages, through these many centuries, and that theme is one nation under God. His truth marches on. Juan Williams points out why America is one nation under God in his article, and he writes, and I quote, "America was not built on an elusive goodness or a random morality." Thomas Paine talked about the error of schools to teach sciences without reference to the being who authored them. For all principles of science are of divine origin. He also stated that the evil that has resulted from the error of the schools in teaching science without God has been that of generating in the pupils, a species of atheism. Who was America's God? It's the God of Abraham, the God Jehovah that we know, the Almighty King of Kings. That's the person, that is the being that they followed. Ben Franklin wrote in 1749 in his plan of education for Pennsylvania, he insisted that the schools teach the necessity of a public religion and the excellency of the Christian religion above all others, ancient or modern, one nation under God. George Washington in 1779 claimed that what children needed to learn above all was the religion of Jesus Christ, and that to learn this would make them greater and happier than they already are. 5 years later, he reminded the nation that, quote, without a humble imitation of the divine author of our blessed religion, we can never hope to be a happy nation. I want this to be a happy nation. This truth kept marching on. Did public officials follow the principles outlined in the Bible? Well, James Madison, in his letter to the Attorney General, laments that the public officials are not bold enough about their Christian faith in public, and that the public officials should be fervent advocates of the cause of Christ. This truth was marching on. Why did they follow such truth? Juan Williams continues that men without a moral compass are incapable of long-term self-governance. The founders knew it because they had seen it. Few modern Americans have experienced what life would be like in a godless society, void of morality. So they question it. Many Americans place their trust in man over God, so they pursue it. Patrick Henry put it this way, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly," he said, "or too often, that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was our friend Patrick Henry. But there is no question what America was, is, or should be to retain its position or its strength as the freest nation of self-governed individuals on earth. We will either be free as one nation under God, or we will be a nation of fools, unaware of our common heritage, and on the road to ruin under men in search of such power. One does not have to be a Christian to understand this. One must only understand man and his insatiable hunger for power. Those in search of that power must remove God from society in order to gain access to that power. Those who allow them to do this do so at their own peril. You are, of course, free not to like this simple truth, but this truth will never change. It has always been, and it shall always be. His truth is marching on.
Thank you.
So his truth keeps marching on. Going back farther in 1490 to 1492, Columbus wrote a book of prophecies, and I quote from that book, "Bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathens. It was the Lord who put that in my mind, that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. I am the most unworthy sinner, but I have cried out to the Lord for grace and mercy, and he or they have covered me completely. No one," he writes, "no one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior, if it is just and if it is the intention is purely for his holy service." His truth is marching on as Columbus carried it. The charter for the Virginia colonies, 200 years later, or 100 and some years later, in 1606, it read in part, "To the glory of his divine majesty in propagating of the Christian religion to such people as yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and the worship of God." That's our neighbors in Virginia. North of us, the Pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact aboard the ship the Mayflower in the Plymouth Harbor. And they wrote on that compact, "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, do covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body." The Continental Congress, another 100 years down the road in the summer of 1775, issued a call for all the citizens to fast and pray and confess their sin before the Lord, that the Lord might bless this land. Can you imagine if our Congress would do that today? Back then, his truth marches on. The next summer, the Declaration of Independence was written and signed, and its excerpts from it say that we hold these truths, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, and for the support of this divine declaration with firm reliance on the protection of his divine providence. His truth marches on.
Thank you. to stop the truth that day on Calvary. Jesus conquered death and truth and set the captives free.
Truth is marching on. Samuel Adams said as the declaration was being signed, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising of the setting of sun, let his kingdom come." Can you imagine saying that today? His truth marches on. What truth is it? On that same day, Ben Franklin suggested that the national motto be, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." 50 out of 55 men who framed the Constitution of the United States were professing Christians. 11 of the first 13 states required faith in Jesus Christ and the Bible as qualification to hold public office. It was required. The Constitution of each of the 50 states acknowledges and calls upon the providence of God for the blessings of freedom. James Madison wrote about all of this and said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each of us and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." Noah Webster followed by saying, "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles." "This is genuine Christianity," he said, "and to this we owe our free constitutions and government. The moral principles and the precepts contained in the scripture ought to form the basis of all civil constitutions and laws." Abraham Lincoln said as he left Springfield, Illinois, to come east to serve in our country's major office, he said, "Unless the great God who assisted Washington shall be with me and aid me, I must fail. But if the same omniscient mind and almighty arm that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail. Let us all pray that the God of our fathers may not forsake us now." President Theodore Roosevelt, clear up into the 20th century, said, "After a week of perplexing problems," he said, "it does my soul so much good to come into the house of the Lord and sing, and I mean it, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." That's what our president said. "My great joy," he said, "and glory that in occupying an exalted position in this nation, I am enabled to preach the practical moralities of the Bible to my fellow countrymen and to hold up Christ as the only hope and the Savior of the world." His truth marches on. 1980, President Ronald Reagan said, "The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in him for the healing of America. Our country is in need of and ready for a spiritual renewal. Something has happened to the truth that marches on. President George Bush said 10 years later, as he proclaimed the National Day of Prayer, when he saw that need, he said, "The great faith that led our nation's founding fathers to pursue this bold experience in self-government has sustained us in uncertain and perilous times. It has given us strength to this very day. Like them, we do very well to recall our firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, to give thanks for the freedom and the prosperity that this nation enjoys, and to pray for a continued help and guidance from our wise and loving Creator."
Trust in God.
who gave us life, gave us liberty. Do you know where that's written at? Just an hour or so from here, on the side of the Thomas Jefferson Memorial. God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. You also found written on that same monument, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift of God? Indeed, I tremble, Jefferson said. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. These inscriptions, holiness to the Lord. Search the scriptures, John 5:39. The memory of the just is blessed, Proverbs 10:7. May heaven to this union continue its beneficence. Praise be to God. In God we trust. You know where these are all found? Where might these truths be found? They're engraved all over the Washington Monument. His truth marched on. Intelligence, patriotism, Christianity, and a firm reliance on him who has never yet forsaken this favored land are still competent to adjust the best way through all of our present difficulties. And that was our leader, Abraham Lincoln, as he faced the Civil War, the year that it started. Dwight D. Eisenhower said that as President of the United States, he said, without God, there could be no American form of government nor any American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, the most basic expression of Americanism. Thus, the founding fathers of America saw it, and thus, with God's help, it will continue to be. America, his truth is liberating. His truth frees us from the bondage of sin and frees us to bond to one another and all mankind. His truth liberates us to treat all men fairly and to love how to treat those with love that are difficult to love. His truth liberates and empowers us to serve others and win over our enemies with love. His truth is essential for American success. His truth marches on as we hold high the light of his word. His truth does march on in America. Look, America, live, look and live.
Stands a little.